morning. Today is Friday, November the 9th. Joining us this morning, Humble Bay Fire Chief Sean Robinson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Are you ready for Why Do We Say That?
I'm very ready.
I know you've been studying, doing a little homework on different opportunities. We'll see if it comes to pass. All right, boondoggle.
Oh, that's a good one.
Where did the word boondoggle originate?
I would say during the Civil War
or
the pirate times in the Caribbean.
All right. Well, this is going to sound pretty mundane to you then.
Okay.
Boy Scouts.
Oh, yeah.
The braided leather lanyard worn by Boy Scouts has no real purpose. It was named a boondoggle by Robert H. Link of Rochester, possibly after Daniel Boone or Joggle. During the Depression of the 1930s, the name of this useless piece of equipment was transferred to the innumerable useless tasks performed by men employed on make-work projects. Ready for this? Of the federal government.
No.
And I read that one straight. I didn't improvise on that one.
Well, that's good. Boondoggle.
Boondoggle, yeah. I bet you got a couple of shining examples with your jurisdictions, things you have to do and you're really not sure why, but you do them because tell you to.
Yes, we've tried to move away from that over the time and be more efficient. But sometimes
I heard tried. Yeah. Oh boy! So with the announcement of so many ballots not being tabulated yet.
Yes.
And with the surtax for roads in Eureka getting 61 and change percent.
Right.
Is anybody speculating anything at all in either in the department or in the hall?
No. We know not much speculation, at least that I'm aware of.
Playing it close to the vest?
No.
I mean, just we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I think it definitely seemed like with the Measure I with 2 4-thirds, it was a big ask to get that, but we're very close. Be a huge benefit for the city. With just hearing on the news, 24,000 votes still would be counted. I don't know if that's in the county or if just for the city, but.
Well, considering how we only have 28,000 residents.
Yeah.
I'm going to go county.
Yeah. So that may affect it. I feel like that's false optimism, though.
Where does it leave you? Other than the same place you are today. I mean, okay,
yeah,
essentially, got that. But
yeah.
How much wear and tear? Now I can ask all these questions and not show any favoritism. How much wear and tear do you guys guess is generated by the condition of the roads or the sidewalks or lack of sidewalks? The fire hydrants that don't adjust properly, people running over hoses, all that kind of stuff that is, you kind of bake it into the system, but it doesn't have to be there.
Yeah, I mean, it has a significant effect. I can't give you an accurate number for sure, but it definitely adds to that. It also reduces our response times because we have to account for those potholes and, you know, it's all over the city.
Will you go around certain roads that you know are in trouble and add a little bit longer to the response time, or you just close your eyes and drive real fast and hope you sail over the potholes?
No sailing. We slow down. But generally, we'll stay with our regular routes because they're proven. If it's a really significant issue, then we'd go around it. But hopefully, if it's a really significant issue, there's an emergency plan to deal with it.
Yeah, you call Public Works or whatever the new name is of the department.
Yeah, and, you know, we have road closures almost daily due to various things, so we try to account for those in our response routes. But generally, we stick to our regular.
Yeah, routes. Is that what the driver has to be cognizant of, or is that dispatch that knows about the daily, you know, if they're, let's say PG&E is tearing up son of a gun, not like it doesn't happen in the last couple of years, but they're tearing up a road. Do they keep abreast of that stuff, or do you guys have to kind of review that as you're en route?
Both. Dispatch generally gets that information, broadcasts us out, and then based on their response district, the drivers will, you know, pay attention to that and then adjust their route accordingly.
It's got to be a bit of a shocker if somebody misses it. You pull around the corner and...
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Or sometimes we don't get notified, or, you know, it's a bigger closure than was communicated.
Four blocks instead of two?
Yeah. When we had the rolling blocks shut down along 6th and 7th Street, that was a time when that affected us more than we anticipated, as well as all the other drivers.
Have you run into a situation where there was a response within the cordoned off area?
Yeah, we've dealt with that.
You just kind of improvise?
Yes. If it's you know, a staffed blockage or closure, then they will make accounts for that and
wave you on in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But generally, when we hear those things, if possible, the battalion chief or one of the duty chiefs will go by, or the unit in that area will go by and just validate that there actually is access, especially when they close a whole block or bar access to a hydrant and things like that, that are, you know, going to dramatically affect how we respond in.
Yeah, the hydrant is a whole different level of challenge.
Yeah, because then we really have to pick an alternate, and that is going to affect the response routes, especially when you have, you know, the next hydrant's a few blocks away.
Or what rig you use.
Exactly. Exactly.
That gives you a chance to break out the rural defense machines.
Yes. Yeah, we have a
bring
lot
the
of
water
experience
truck.
With that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:04. No, that's a 3 that's up there, 8:23. Back talking shop this morning with Chief Sean. You guys were kind of halfway busy earlier this week, or at least you were making the headlines.
Yeah, we had a very busy day. You know, ran the gamut, structure fire the night before, then another one in the morning, extrication, and then...
Was that just somebody blowing through an intersection or not paying attention? Or
apparently, they were driving through the area, and an individual was lying in the street beside his bicycle, and the car swerved to avoid him.
Did they get the person who was sleeping on the street?
No, he ran off into the bushes, apparently. Yeah. And then we had another cooking fire at one of the multi-story buildings downtown, and finished my day with a wildland vegetation fire up on Greenwood Heights Road. So
you can kind of feel like you're needed.
Yeah, it was a busy day. Yeah, and you know, the crews ran several significant medicals the night before, and yeah, it's definitely been a busy week.
Is that still mind-numbing to you? Let's just call it the activity. On Broadway?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sleeping on the... Come on.
Yeah.
Really? You know, are the people walking across daring? Who was in... Oh, earlier this week, Office of Traffic and Safety, about pedestrian training, I guess.
Okay.
You know, don't walk with your head down across the crosswalk. Mm-hmm. Or if there's a crosswalk half a block away. We had this one... Yesterday, where was it going? Oh, about 4:30 in Eureka as part of the reconfiguration or the assistance with the Caltrans and Highway 101 where Myrtle comes in. You know, folks probably, if you're not familiar, it's the place where the horse statue. Well,
yes.
I guess it's not really a statue. It's a, I don't know, a bunch of a bunch of bolts connected together to look like a horse. I mean, it's a jigsaw puzzle kind of horse.
Yeah, it's an assembled sculpture.
There you go. Okay. You call it yours, I'll call it mine. And there's an island there to allow people to walk across. Well,
right.
This gal, instead of being where the crosswalk is, was down the further south point, so it was jamming up cars on Myrtle trying to get onto 6th.
Yeah.
She could have crossed at any time at the other spot, but she was standing there and people weren't sure they were going to have to stop her. She was going to, you know, step out in front of a car moving on to 6th.
Right. You know,
just simple, basic stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think we'd have to tell people where to sleep, it seems like that's part of the norm.
Yeah. People don't follow the rules. And
what percentage of your medicals are people being stupid? And I'll let you define stupid how you want to. You know, I go back to Arnie Millsap, and he used to use the phrase ugly in public.
Right.
Okay, we all kind of know what that is.
Yeah.
Okay, so stupid in public, and you can define that how you want. But as far as medical responses or medical aid responses, what percentage of that load is people just being, let's call it goofy?
I'd take a total wag with that, since I don't have accurate data, but you know, anywhere from 10% to 20%.
That's a significant chunk of your.
Yeah, and it's a variety of what you define as ugly in public or ugly in private, but people, you know, making poor choices or
not drug related necessarily, just being
right or
goofy.
Being in the wrong place, the wrong time, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, through my career, that's definitely one thing that has been reinforced as how arbitrary and random things can be. And, sometimes it's unsettling.
Now, I know with medical aids,
right,
a lot of times you guys have your frequent flyers.
Yes.
Okay, places that you go back to over and over and over and over. Okay. Do you have the same thing with this part of your response?
We go to the same areas.
Okay, but not the same individuals necessarily?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. Generally, if we're going to the same individuals several times, we try to give them more resources. And I mean, I remember.
Was that mean somebody else's phone number?
Potentially, or you know, if they need some mental health assistance, or
well, okay, if it's yeah, that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember a few years ago when we, you know, went to an individual who had just moved locations. And then he learned the nomenclature that would garner him a response so that he could get a warm night in the hospital. And it just became completely abusive. And it's a difficult thing to deal with. And I know the police department and the sheriff's office struggles with that too. With, you know, you try to help and you try to rehabilitate and you try to point people in the direction to get those resources. But
presuming that they want help.
Well, yeah. And a
or
lot
they're
of,
able to.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, they don't take it. They're not interested in that. They have different paths they want to follow.
Now, I think a lot of us, if we weren't genetically inclined to be a fireman or a policeman, would go, hey, wait a minute. You're on your own now. You've taken advantage of the system of it's over.
Right.
Can you legally do that? I know ethically you can't. Can you legally make that decision, or is there too much liability associated with that and you just have to respond and process and somebody else has to worry about the
costs? There's the whole negligence aspect, so we have to, you know, provide the service.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson, Humboldt Bay Fire Chief. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, American Ag Credit, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Sean, we just heard a little bit about Paradise and Malibu and Calabasas and.
Right.
I guess the Paradise one is most intriguing or most personal for us, because a lot, you know, now with Chico State being shut down, I mean, the Butte College, that makes it personal for a lot of folks around here who either have kids or went there themselves.
Yeah.
But for me, the thing is, when they say 28,000 or 27,000, that's Eureka.
Yeah.
Let's clear out all of Eureka. It's gone.
Yeah.
Boom. Okay, now what does that mean? Well, it gets a little personal pretty darn quick with
right.
that one. When you hear stories about situations in the neighborhood, so to speak, do you guys do anything different? Do you try to adjust for it? I know sometimes you're sending folks over there to help out, but as far as the before the event activities, does that change at all?
We try to just monitor those situations. For us, we're part of the Mass Mutual Aid system in California, so we're a resource. And so we just try to forecast what the resource needs would be. Through the regular fire season, we participate in a conference called CAL FIRE, and it's just to get a resource update. And that's getting modernized through more of a digital platform. But a fire
season. You get an email instead of a phone call?
No,
Digital platform, you know, I mean, for some of us, is like, okay, great. Is that you dive off that into the pool or what?
It's just more to indicate if we have a strike team engine available and those types of resources. And instead of CAL FIRE being the receptor of that and then redistributing it, there's a OES central point where you can complete a form.
That's why I was wondering if OES is involved. You know, we hear about OES with the earthquakes and some of the weekly tests that we do. But
right.
as far as the really what do they do stuff, I think that's kind of over in that area is kind of gray and a little foggy for most of us.
Sure. There's a hierarchy of ordering resources and managing and coordinating them for emergencies. So that's basically how the state system works, is state OES is the ones who coordinate the allocation of resources, and there's the North Ops and South Ops to cover those huge areas. And all resource orders from the local level will go up to the state depending on the size of the incident. And then they'll deploy. So the resource orders we get come through the local CAL FIRE office, but they're coordinated through the state.
So when, let's say, Paradise Fire, or the equivalent of that,
right.
calls, does it go to Sacramento and then pushed out, or does it go to everybody who's a member, say we need X number of rigs, X number of this, X number of that, and everybody kind of starts saying, okay, I'll chip this in, I'll put this in, and they start rolling?
It's kind of that disseminated system where it'll start in North Ops around here, which I believe is in Reading, and then that gets pushed to the local areas, and again, using those availability resource lists, that's how they decide what to pull from. So sometimes we can't get a strike team available in the county. We don't have the number of units. Yesterday, people mobilized pretty quickly, and we went from going to cover stations for a CAL FIRE early in the afternoon to getting diverted to Chico to support the campfire in Paradise.
So you got some guys over there.
We had guys on the road. They left it around, I think, 4 p.m.
Well, as quickly as it's moving, their drive might not have to be quite as long as it was anticipated.
Yeah.
If it's moving up the valley that
yeah,
quickly.
Yeah, they got to Chico around 11:30, I think 11:31.
So they're engaged right now.
The last I checked in with them, they were unassigned. So that often happens when we have these mass chaos, is you either get deployed en route, which is not a very safe thing to do. It violates multiple safety things. And then, as they try to reassess and consolidate, as resources start pouring in, there'll be sometimes a time lag. But these incidents are becoming, unfortunately, so commonplace that the incident management teams and the people who live in those much more fire-prone areas kind of become more proficient at dealing with the mass influx of resources and allocating them.
They've developed a skill set that nobody would really want, but they've got it.
Exactly. And that's why, globally, California is recognized as an incident management experts, because we mobilize on these massive incidents so often.
Well, in different colors, too, whether it's an earthquake or a windstorm.
Exactly.
Or a fire.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back, final segment of the week. Fire Chief Sean is with us. Sean, the concept of Broadway and this, the discussion around the In-N-Out Burger, I know that engineering is a huge thing,
right,
for the streets. Where the signal lights get put, where the stop signs, the yields, the magic blippers you guys have that let you go through and have the lights.
Yeah.
All that stuff is not a craft, it's a science.
Yes.
Okay. So when you hear about another stoplight potentially being located on Broadway, is that something that will make it easier for you guys to get from A to B? Or does that complicate things to go from A to B, having a series of lights?
Well, without knowing the exact configuration of the traffic controlled, hardware there.
Simple then. You got 9 or 10 of them now, right?
Yep.
Okay. Add one more.
Yeah. So
does that make it easier or tougher?
Both. It makes it easier because you have another way to control traffic. You have a controlled intersection. Because at that particular facility, if you like, there are people who do go in there, and there's no controlled traffic there. They just have to wait until traffic clears up and then go across. So that's a risk for us responding. So a controlled intersection helps with that. However, a controlled intersection is still an intersection, and we slow down for those because you have to account for people not hearing the siren, not seeing you, and pulling in front of you. And if you're, going at your response speed, which is generally 10 miles an hour above the posted speed limit, you're still going to have a significant collision. And that's an incident within an incident, we call it. And we do not want to do that.
That's not one you want a skill set on.
Yeah.
So if all of the lights were green, let's say from 5th Street, well, you guys pull out, I guess you go down 6th. So let's say 6th Street to the last one at the old Kmart site.
Right.
Okay. Do you still go super slow through each one? Or
we don't go super slow, but we definitely slow down for the intersection.
So it's a fast, slow. Or
yeah.
Fast, not as fast.
Exactly.
Go through.
Yeah.
Is there any way to avoid that?
Yeah, you could have an Autobahn like they have in Germany and, no controlled intersections.
I wouldn't think that would be high on the list.
But, no, within such a gridded system and, such a dynamic environment, it's difficult to control all of those. We do often get straight greens because we have the traffic control tools on our rigs where it basically hits a receiver on the light, and when our emergency lights are activated, it will hit that receiver and turn the light green for us.
But you still can't go.
You just have
without
to be
paying attention.
You just have to be defensive.
Now, when Sergeant Gary from EPD was in on Monday, he talked about some of the challenges with pedestrians.
Yeah.
When you guys are responding, the lights are on, do pedestrians get in your way also?
Yes, sometimes. Sometimes they're just...
not paying attention, which is I would imagine be tough as
yeah.
your eardrums are bleeding as the truck's approaching.
Yeah, it's often... It's more uncommon because, like you said, the siren's quite audible if you're walking down the sidewalk. But we have had people who may not necessarily come into the road but are not walking where they should, and you, again, have to be defensive and anticipate them pulling into the road. We've had the same thing with people riding on bicycles. Just you have to expect the worst and try to be defensive.
Well, maybe we get one of those cattle guards like the trains used to have in front of each of the rigs. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Hopefully it's a quiet weekend. See everybody tomorrow.